Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Yuri Ostapiak, Chief Operations Officer at Logistics Plus. Yuri, thank you once again for joining us, and welcome back to the Business Spotlight. It's good to have you on again. For those that maybe haven't heard you on this program before, give our listeners some background information about yourself and discuss what your role within Logistics Plus is.
Sure thing. Thank you for having me. You know, I started with Logistics Plus almost exactly 16 years ago, and I'm a graduate of Edinburgh University. And one of my professors, who was a close mentor of mine, has recommended me to Jim Berlin, the owner and the founder of Logistics Plus. You know, I started with Logistics Plus, and my first job actually was in operations and warehousing. I was working out of the local warehouse and, you know, handling shoes distribution and a few other projects. Kind of, you know, moved up to the import department and then started an export department. And kind of, you know, one thing led to the other. Logistics Plus has been on a crazy growth spur for the last pretty much 26 years. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, we're probably over 1,000 people now globally between all of our entities. And that's been tremendous to see, because a lot of this growth creates a lot of opportunities. It allows people to move up. It allows us to continue to hire new people and bring in new talents. And, you know, it's a very kind of exciting part of this job.
Yuri, is someone that's been on the front lines of the supply chain issues, can you give our listeners some insight as to what those issues have caused and what it's been like dealing with the supply chain problems over the course of the last year and a half to 2 years?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, supply chain has been in disarray for quite some time. It all kind of actually started with some of the President Trump's tariffs, because that kind of, you know, shifted a lot of manufacturing away from China, and kind of in a way actually prepared a little bit the world supply chain, you know, in terms of because of COVID. So what happened is that a lot of the manufacturing shifted from China into Southeast Asia. And then when COVID happened and China was shut down, the companies already kind of had a blueprint of how to kind of spread some of their manufacturing and some of the manufacturing risks. But obviously, with COVID, there was a huge backlog. We had Suez Canal fiasco, and then the things have lightened up a little bit, and then the Delta COVID resurgence and all these shipping issues. As you know, there's a huge issue right now in terms of backlog in Long Beach Port, the coast of California. There's issues with workers. There's issues with unions. There's a huge queue of ships. And, you know, these ships are extremely expensive to operate, and they have a lot of freight on them. You know, they run in, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars per week, and they're just sitting there waiting for their, you know, spots to get unloaded. We hear a lot about people saying, well, can we, you know, redirect them to, you know, Texas or Florida? And it's certainly not that easy. It's not an easy thing. You have to go, you know, you deal with U.S. Customs, and you have to, you know, there is a significant sailing time to go down all the way through the Panama Canal and then up through the Gulf or around into Florida. So there is definitely a lot of issues, and there's not an easy short-term fix of this. So it's just, you know, one thing after the other. And, you know, for those people that don't actually realize how bad this is, prior to the tariffs and the COVID, the container rate from China to U.S. was, let's say, $2,000 to $3,000. In August or in late July, those rates were up, you know, upwards of $30,000 per container. So I'm not talking, you know, it's a, you know, 100% increase or a little increase or two times. I'm talking a very, very high increase. And, you know, at this point, a lot of the, you know, the, whether it's the retailers and customers here in the U.S., like they're already committed to it. They have to bring in the product. They have to pay it. It's certainly not economical to ship things from China or Southeast Asia paying $30,000 per container, because the cost of the goods is going up. But they don't have the ability to quickly scale up their manufacturing somewhere else. So, and as you know, because of these delays, a lot of the our clients have, issues with their inventory. They don't have inventory. They are now rethinking the whole concept of just-in-time inventory. And as of, recently, just-in-time inventory is kind of going right out of the window. And people are trying to stock up and have a safety stock of 2 to 3 months to kind of, make sure that they spread their risk. And with that also comes additional cost and, the cost of warehousing and everything else. And what we see is the backlogs in Port of Long Beach. But these backlogs are not just at that port. They are in most other ports. And what that creates is a domino effect, because there's also a shortage of truckers and there's a shortage of chassis and there's shortages. There's issues with railroads. So right now, the industry is extremely, extremely difficult to navigate. It's difficult for us. It's also difficult for our customers.
I don't think an episode of Business Spotlight with Logistics Plus goes by without us mentioning your company's dedication to serving your clients. With that being said, what kind of conversations are you having with your clients right now in regards to all of these supply chain disruptions?
You know what? Logistics Plus is kind of, is built for this. We enjoy these challenges. We embrace these challenges. And, we simply don't take no for an answer. And a lot of our customers, and a lot of new customers are coming to us saying, hey guys, we're dealing with, these billion-dollar companies and they can't get us space or they don't get us kind of whatever we need. And, how are you guys doing this? And we're leveraging relationships. We're simply not taking no for an answer. We're picking up the phone and emailing and working around the clock and working with all of our overseas offices and trying to leverage volumes and leverage our relationships. And just, we don't stop until we actually solve these issues for our customers. And, we're getting, our current customers are happy. We're getting a lot of new customers. There's a lot of new customers are willing to relook at their entire supply chain because it's so disrupted. So, it's a lot of late nights. It's a lot of after hour calls and work. There used to be an industry, standard saying that you have to have these huge volumes to get space and get great rates. And it's true only to a certain extent. And the carriers and various operators, they also do business based on relationships. And they know that, that we support them. And they know that, we have a lot of Fortune 500 clients. And, we are, in many different instances, outperforming companies that are much larger than we are. Jim says, is that we punch above our weight.
Yuri, in your opinion, if we had to isolate a single source of the supply chain problem, would COVID-19 be the front runner in that category?
I would say yes. I mean, there are certainly other obstacles here, but COVID has been definitely the main obstacle. COVID has been kind of spreading and affecting different areas at different times. So obviously China got hit with it the hardest and shut down, which created a huge backlog. And then it made its way all the way to the U.S. And, then it went through various stages, up and down. And then all of a sudden with the Delta resurgence, right now, for example, a lot of places in Europe are closing down because although the Delta cases are going down in the United States, they are very rapidly going up in Europe. So we are seeing a huge disruptions in supply chain in Europe. We're seeing a lot of issues at their ports. We're having a lot of issues with truckers. But there are certainly other, obstacles. There's still a huge backlog from Brexit. UK just simply was not well prepared for Brexit. They did not have the structure. They did not have enough custom brokers that actually know kind of any of the regulations because they didn't have to deal with it being part of EU. So, so there's been plenty of other issues, as I've mentioned, the Suez Canal and, various prices and supply and demand. But I think it all kind of boils down to COVID and how it's been hitting the world economy in stages and how it's, and in one areas it's going up, in one areas it's going down. So that's, I think that that's been definitely the primary driver of all the supply chain issues.
Yuri, when you read up on the situation, prognostications right now are not very optimistic. Are you hopeful that at some point things are going to clear up, ports are going to start getting unloaded, and the supply chain situation will improve?
I'm an optimist, so I think that things will continue to improve. I think that some of these extremely high rates and capacity issues will get solved. And, the economy still operates on supply and demand. And right now there's a huge demand. You know, the economy is, I don't want to say overly overstimulated, but it's certainly stimulated. There's a lot of discretionary income. People are buying a lot of, various goods, and everybody's kind of trying to catch up. Once that catches up a little bit, then once, the carriers add additional capacity, demand slows down a little bit. I think it will kind of settle down a bit. I don't know if the rates will go down to the, the previous level, but they certainly will go down probably, with including, some of the inflation. But overall, I think that, we will kind of continue marching forward. The cases, Delta cases in U.S. are going down. And I think that, that the supply chain issues will kind of continue to slowly recover. And we should be in a much better position once kind of, some of this peak season is over at the beginning of the new year. Maybe by mid of the end of Q2, we should kind of have a bit of a better outlook.
Are the same issues that are affecting imports affecting exports now too? And also, are things equally challenging among air, ocean, and ground modes?
It's definitely a good question. So, U.S. is a primarily importing economy, so it's certainly affecting the imports a lot more. And the fact that the population has so much discretionary income and everybody's buying stuff and, everybody's trying to stock up on huge inventory because, U.S. is the world's largest consumer. So imports is certainly a lot more affected than exports. But exports are also affected. If we talk air versus ocean, air was an extremely difficult issue for everyone over the last, let's say, almost 2 years, simply because most people don't realize, but majority of the air freight goes on passenger aircraft. And when there was no passenger traffic, there was just no capacity. And the very few charters that fly, the freighters, just simply couldn't handle that kind of a huge volume. And various carriers, battled that differently. Some, flew their passenger airplanes without passengers, just the cargo, and, kind of trying to figure out and, invent revenue streams. But overall, the backlog on the air side was huge. And now that the passenger travel is recovering, we're seeing some of the constraints kind of, I don't want to say starting to disappear, but it's significantly better. It's a significant improvement from just a few months ago. On the ocean side, there's obviously various service levels, and there's a program we call the Fast Boat, which is kind of the fastest service between China and the United States. There's slower ones. There's the ones going into U.S. West Coast, East Coast, and they're all affected. They're all affected. They're all extremely expensive. A lot of the manufacturers and retailers are taking losses on their products because of the cost of transportation. And, they can probably sustain it for a little bit, but they won't be able to sustain it for a long time. So definitely the industry will need to self-correct before this becomes a kind of a huge issue. And even now we already see some forms of kind of reverse sourcing, where some of the manufacturers are trying to source parts, in the United States and looking for local manufacturers to produce. Or, one of the beneficiaries of this is Mexico as well. Mexico has a lot of, a lot of manufacturing capabilities. And because of NAFTA and because of, being a landlocked within the United States, it's a relatively easy logistics to get goods from Mexico into the United States.
Yuri, you've been instrumental in LP's global expansion over the past decade. How many countries are you in today? And are there any places where LP is specifically strong?
That's a great question. So we are now approaching about 50 different countries, overall over 1,000 employees. This has been a tremendous year of growth for us because, again, with every challenge, there is a big opportunity. We are opening up offices in Brazil. We are opening up new offices in Vietnam and Malaysia. We have really strengthened our entire operations in China and India. We are growing dramatically fast in Europe and expanding into Eastern Europe. We're investing and expanding in Africa, our Turkey operation. So, we're pretty strong in all main kind of trade regions. And, looking to continue expand and open up new offices, and you know, and hiring the right people with the right attitude. That's been our recipe for success. Kind of our culture is what, you know, drives our success, and we want to continue to do that. And growth creates opportunities, but it also creates some challenges, and we don't want to grow at expense of our culture. So trying to make sure that everything is well balanced.
Hearing you go over that list of countries that LP has expanded to is very impressive. Is there one specific country that you're very excited about the opportunity to continue that growth in?
Yeah, actually two different countries. So one is Vietnam. Vietnam is a very large market for us. Vietnam has kind of been the first beneficiary of the Trump tariffs, since a lot of the manufacturing from China was shifted to Vietnam. And now, with all the different challenges, they have pretty strong workforce manufacturing capabilities. So that's one of the countries that we have been expanding a lot. We have quite a few people there, adding more. And we think that that's, you know, that that's going to be a very kind of strong and up and coming office for us, as well as, you know, a major trade lane. And another country we're excited about is Brazil. We've opened up a new office in Brazil, and Brazil is extremely difficult to do business in. Brazil is very kind of, you know, bureaucratic. Their customs systems are kind of very, you know, slow and bureaucratic as well. Different rules vary by different regions, and it's difficult to navigate. But if you know what you're doing, if you have the expertise and the right people, it can be quite successful, because a lot of people simply don't want to deal with it. And we have the right people there, and we are growing very fast there. And we, you know, by the end of next year, we expect to have 20 to 35 people working for that entity, and kind of very excited. And, you know, that's going to be our new stronghold for entire South America.
Yuri, if we could, I want to backtrack for a moment and go back to something we discussed earlier about how you've taken care of your clients and customers during this difficult time. Is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners about, maybe a specific story or an example of how LP goes above and beyond for their clients?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so one of the things is that over the last few years, Logistics Plus has really made a kind of a transformation from logistics more into supply chain. We are a true supply chain management company, where we don't just get involved in shipments from A to B, but we get involved in, you know, purchase orders and forecasting and demanding and procurement and sourcing in certain instances, as well as installations of, you know, final goods in various locations in various industries. So what we bring to the table is, you know, the business intelligence aspect of it. You know, sometimes giving the customer the bad news is hard. But it is absolutely necessary, because it then gives them the time to react and gives them a time to address these specific issues. And our business intelligence, predictive analytics, you know, we are able to tell them, saying, hey, you will be out of stock by this date. And your assumption that it takes 30 days from China is wrong. You know, it's going to take a lot longer. So, you know, we have been able to kind of guide our customers through this and use our industry knowledge and business intelligence to kind of figure this out and tell them, this is what's happening and this is what is needed. So, you know, it's a deeper scope than just transportation. It's a deeper scope than just getting a call and saying, hey, can we book this container for us? So that's one of the areas that's been big for us and kind of becoming our extension of our customer. And we have a saying that no two customers are alike. So we customize everything, and we get to know these customers. And many times we are so embedded with some of these customers that it's really hard to tell where Logistics Plus ends and the customer begins. And that's been very successful for us. It really has been, because, you know, that we are looking for long-term strategic partnerships and not just, you know, transactional business. And we've been very lucky with the people that we have, and the, you know, the technology that we purchased, technology we've developed ourselves. Those huge investments that we've made a few years ago are certainly paying off for us.
Let's pivot now from supply chain issues to LP's role in being a state-of-the-art technology company. I know that LP has invested a lot of money in state-of-the-art applications when it comes to managing client expectations. How has better technology changed your roles in recent years when it comes to providing better customer service?
It's a good question. You know, so one of the things, everybody wants data now. Everybody wants data. Everybody wants visibility. Everybody wants to, you know, to know where their products are. And I'm not saying just specifically, you know, when you have a shipment in transit. You know, everybody wants to be able to accumulate as much data, analyze it properly, and come up with certain conclusions. That's what we've been able to provide through our investments in technology and our business intelligence suites. You know, we're able to not just to take the supply chain data, but we are able to even, you know, feed customer forecasts and planning and demand and other data from various sources that they have, and then come up with one kind of business intelligence, you know, analysis and point them in the right way to, you know, the right solutions on how to actually, you know, correct or treat their entire supply chain. So, you know, it certainly is paying off for us, having the ability to, you know, have live data feeds to directly where, you know, where the customer's freight is also, it's a huge benefit. And many times, you know, our customers simply look at their dashboards and are able to drill into any data that they need without having to, you know, follow up or call, or without us having to feed it to them by a phone or an email. So it certainly has brought a lot of efficiencies for us. But the biggest efficiencies is having all the data, being able to analyze that data and tell the conclusions based on the analysis to our customers. That's been the driving force and kind of the difference maker. Because we also have a saying is that analyzing wrong data is actually worse than not analyzing any data at all. Because sometimes you can run a business on a gut feel. But if you have the wrong data and it points you in the wrong direction, that can be detrimental to a company or to a company's growth. So we spend a lot of time validating the data and making sure that the data is clean, that the data is accurate, and that the conclusions that we come with are actually the right conclusions. And, you know, so kind of it takes a lot of work. It takes pride in your work, but that's something that we are very conscious of. And that's something that, again, has helped us grow.
Yuri, let's discuss warehousing. It has been such a high growth area for LP in recent years. Are there any updates on the LP warehousing side of things that you can share with us?
Yeah, so warehousing has been also absolutely huge for us. You know, the last year or so, we have moved into a brand new facility in Chino, California, with all the racking and everything else. We probably have about, you know, over a million square feet just in California alone. We do a lot of warehousing in Erie. We opened up a warehouse and an office in Miami. We're in the process of opening up a warehouse in Charlotte. We have two facilities in Chicago, and kind of, you know, one of our facilities, basically it almost touches one of the O'Hare runways, but that's been a very kind of IT-based, high-touch, air freight consolidations type operation. You know, we very quickly ran out of space and went outside into another building. So warehousing has been huge. And it's honestly not only in the United States. We have new operations in Netherlands and in China and kind of all over the world that all include growth in warehousing. So we've been able to scale it up. We have world-class WMS that is part of our global ERP system. And, you know, we are able to kind of, you know, quickly set it up and implement it. And, you know, the key is hiring the right people. And as you know, it's the labor shortage that has been one of the more challenging things in recent months. And it's really difficult to find good people. But to be honest with you, we have been able to find the right people, and we have been successful in that. And I've heard in the past people saying that, you know, oh, well, you know, you're headquartered in Erie, but that's going to kind of hold you back because it probably doesn't have the top talent. That's a myth. Erie does have the top talent, the people that we are hiring. There's a lot of, you know, there's four local universities. We actively recruit with all of them, and they are providing us terrific, you know, entry level employees. And, you know, we have great training programs, and they're thriving and doing great. Kind of over the last few years, as I mentioned, as we went from just a normal logistics company into a supply chain company, you know, we have been attracting different kinds of talent. So we currently have quite a lot of industrial engineers, mechanical engineers, and, you know, we're very excited to have them. And, you know, they're working on very complex supply chain projects, forecasting and demand and inventory and warehousing controls all over the world. And, you know, we certainly want to continue to do that, continue to attract the talent. You know, although it's been challenging, we have been lucky and we kind of continue to find the right people. And that's what is allowing us to grow.
Earlier in the show, we talked about the growth of Logistics Plus over the past 25 years. We all know that growth and expansion require capital. How has Logistics Plus been able to keep up with all of the required investments?
You know, that's a great question. It's a very easy question to answer, too. Taking a quick trip down memory lane, about probably 12 years ago, we ran into certain issues that we had with some of the ships that we purchased, and we kind of, you know, restructured the company, but really kind of were very cost conscious and kind of really relooked at the way we did business. And that has never changed. And right now we are cash free. Every single acquisition, every single expansion that we've done was done from our own cash flow. And we are a cash strong company with zero debt, which is, you know, something that it's something that we are very proud of. And that's something that we kind of want to continue. So, you know, it's fun to grow, but you need to grow responsibly and be conscious and not to, you know, overstretch yourself. And we've been very lucky. And all of our growth has been self-financed.
Yuri, this will be the last question we ask you. Thanks once again for being a part of Business Spotlight here on Money Radio WPSE. We always appreciate discussing Logistics Plus with you. It's been fun here in 2021 to ask every guest that we've had on the air that works for LP about the 25th anniversary, especially employees like you that have been around LP for a long time. With Logistics Plus continuing to be recognized as a great workplace and celebrating their 25th anniversary this year, just give us some overall thoughts on how you feel about that, what it's been like to be a part of it.
You know, it's quite a milestone, and it's something we're very proud of. You know, we're not necessarily chasing a certain number in terms of, you know, revenue or in terms of employees. We want to continue to grow because growth creates opportunities, but we want to grow our way. We don't want to compromise our culture. We don't want to compromise what makes LP special. We want to continue to provide these kind of custom solutions to all of our customers. And we want to continue to be able to kind of, you know, touch our customers. And, you know, the LP operates kind of as an umbrella business where we have various divisions, and each division has its own P&L and their own leadership. And they all still have that small business mentality, and they all have the proper hustle. And, you know, you can deliver 99 shipments in the past and do 99 projects well, but everybody only remembers based on your last shipment and your last performance, which is, you know, sometimes that's hard to wrap your head around, but we have to earn our keep every single day. We have to, you know, do what is it we do, what our customers pay us and expect us to do.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.